This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every night I sit here by my window, staring at the lonely avenue, watching lovers holding hands and laughing, and thinking about the things we used to do.
Thinking of things
like a walk in the park,
things
like a kiss in the dark, like a sailboat ride.
Yeah.
What about the night we cried? Things like a lover's vow, things that we don't do now, thinking about the things we used to do. Memories are all I have to cling to, and heartaches are the friends I'm talking to. When I'm not thinking of just how much I loved you,
love you.
But I'm thinking about the things we used to do.
Oh, yeah, you ever think about things you used to do?
My
God, I think about it all the time.
Like a kiss in the dark.
That's Bobby Darin. Love Bobby Darin. Wish he was still around. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I'm still around, and so is Big Ed Davis, my buddy, my partner. And we thank you for joining us. It's Wednesday, May the 24th. Boy, we got a lot going on today, don't we? In a few minutes, Zach Smith is going to join us. He's with the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the Durham Report. Yeah, the Durham Report, which found there was no collusion between Donald Trump and Russia, much to the chagrin of the FBI and, at the time, the Justice Department. So we'll talk with Zach about it. He says the FBI had no business opening an investigation. So we'll get into the detail about all of that in just a few minutes. And you may know this, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis jumps into the presidential pool this evening when he's set to make it official. We are going to take a look at that. And we may have a surprise for you. Maybe a surprise or two for you on that front. So stay tuned for that a little bit later. And the governor of North Carolina. Boy, we got a lot of governors making news. The governor of North Carolina declares a state of emergency in North Carolina. Must be something terrible going on there, right? He's declared a state of emergency. You know what the state of emergency is for? The legislature passed a school choice program. And he wants it stopped immediately. He does not want school choice going on in North Carolina. So we got a state of emergency going on there. We'll look into that. And in our ultimate top 10, last time we gave you the top 10 best places to live here in the United States, according to News and World Report. So turnabout being fair play, the top 10 worst places, the worst places to live. I hope you're not living in one of them, but we will tell you what they are. So, I guess the big news in Florida is our governor may today, this evening, announce he is running for the presidency. If he does not, it will be the biggest surprise in the state.
Can you imagine if he walked up and...
He said, I ain't running. What are you guys, nuts?
I think I'll be governor for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah. You don't need me to be in the White House. I'm not that crazy. Well, sources familiar with everything that he will declare that he's a candidate at 6 p.m. tonight, Eastern Time. And guess who he will be having a conversation with at the time? Elon Musk.
I saw that, yeah.
Elon Musk. So are they? Is Elon going to be his vice presidential running mate? Ed?
Well, I think he's cleared his schedule. You know, he took himself out of the head of Twitter.
Elon Musk, he claimed he voted for Biden.
Well,
the last time.
You know how things change.
Yeah, they must have really changed.
I mean,
well,
everybody's talking about, oh, there's going to be a big feud between Trump and DeSantis. Look, listen, when it's all said and done, all the things that were said get put back into the, all the toothpaste gets put back into the tube when
like it never happened.
Well, look, Kamala Harris set the bar last time. She called Joe Biden a racist, but still managed to work with him for 4 years.
Yeah, he must have liked it. He must have taken it as a compliment because she became his running mate.
No.
So, along with the announcement, DeSantis is expected to file paperwork with the Federal Election Commission, which will officially launch his campaign. And by the way, his first national TV interview, it's going to be on Fox News tonight at 8 o'clock, so tune in. He's going to be on Trey Gowdy's program there. Trey Gowdy used to be in the Congress. He's an interesting character, by the way, Trey Gowdy. He has a law background. And so that'll be interesting. Now, DeSantis is largely seen as the biggest contender for the nomination next to Donald Trump, although he's running a distant second right now. But Donald Trump and his allies were quick to take aim. Here's what they said, announcing on Twitter. Announcing on Twitter for DeSantis is perfect. This way he doesn't have to interact with people, and the media can't ask him any questions. Okay. Well he's willing to take questions. That's a cheap shot right
there.
Yeah,
Paul, come on, here we go. I feel sorry for his family. I really do. The way the media is going to go after him, if they go after him half as much as they did Trump, I feel sorry for his family. I mean, because they'll just, honestly, Paul, they just make stuff up now. And then when it's proved 4 years down the road, you know, the Russian thing was all, you know, we got it wrong.
Yeah, what's the big deal, right? Yeah. It's a nothing now it's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
The Durham report was a nothing burger.
You were able to sue somebody for slander.
Yeah. It's tough when you're in the public eye to win a suit for slander. This is one of the things. It goes with the territory. People are going to come at you. I don't care if you're the Lord himself. People will come after you and accuse you of different things. And that's just the way life is.
It used to be about political views and political decisions that were and were not made. Now it's they want to dig into your past and personal. And if they can't find anything, they start making stuff up.
The thing about Ron DeSantis is the more they dig into his past, the more they look at a guy that's really got a great past.
Oh, but they'll find something, Paul.
I mean, he's got a great past.
Some girl in elementary school, he probably slapped her or something like that. And, you know, we're going to bring her up. She'll show up on CNN next week. When I was 2 years old, he slapped me in the nursery school. He's a mean guy. He slapped me.
So this is the price you pay. This is the price you pay. You know, even when he ran as governor, look at all of the abuse he took. His wife is a delightful person from everything that I can see. And I kind of, and like you say, I feel sorry for the family.
She's still battling cancer.
And she's still trying to get over all that. She looks very healthy to me.
She does. But, and
God
kids,
willing, she
great
is.
Kids.
And wonderful children. And we happen to know his father, who's a wonderful man, by the way. We may have a little surprise for you a little bit later in the show about all of that. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, this caught my eye. The IRS, and for those of you that don't pay taxes, that stands for the Internal Revenue Service. The commissioner has denied intervening to retaliate against any IRS whistleblowers that came out. And you know what he used as an excuse? He said, it's not us, it's the Justice Department. Well, the Justice Department oversees the IRS, among other things. In a letter sent by IRS Commissioner Daniel Werfel on May 17th, he responded to concerns that whistleblowers may have faced retaliation for coming forward and voicing concerns about the Hunter Biden probe. He says this, quote, I want to state unequivocally that I have not intervened and will not intervene in any way that would impact the status of any whistleblower. However, the letter states that the particular whistleblower referenced by a Republican Congressman Jason Smith that's being really screwed over, in their initial letter, experienced a change in work assignment at the direction of the Department of Justice. Okay, fine. He's still getting screwed. He's still losing his status. He still can't continue with his investigation. And this is what Werfel says. The IRS whistleblower you reference alleges that the change in work assignment came at the direction of the Department of Justice. As a general matter, and not in a reference to any specific case, I believe it is important to emphasize that in any matter involving federal judicial proceedings, the IRS follows the direction of the Justice Department. Okay, so in other words, he did get screwed, and the Justice Department did intervene, and you're part of the Justice Department, and he worked for your department, right? All right. Anyway, let's take our break, and when we come back, maybe another injustice we're going to look at FBI deal about President Trump colluding with Russia. Well, the Durham report didn't find that, and we're going to talk with Zach Smith all about it.
Sugar, oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ain't it good to...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday here at Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have Zach Smith join us. Zach is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center, and he's penned a piece in the Daily Signal. Last week, Durham's damning report assails FBI leadership and the media for enabling Hillary Clinton's alleged Russia hoax plan. Zach, welcome to Freedom Works.
Of course. Thanks for having me on the show.
Ah, it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. Well, and, you know, this is a nothing burger if you listen to a lot of the media. No matter how much they thought it was a big deal when they were talking about it, that there was a collusion going on, people like Adam Schiff and the gang and the Democratic side talking about, this deal with Putin and Donald Trump to get himself elected, and how the Russians were helping them. Boy, that was all over the place, And now, after the report finally comes out, and it doesn't show any connection, and in fact, apparently, the whole thing was kind of... dreamed up possibly by Hillary Clinton and the gang. Now it's a nothing burger, right?
Well, if you listen to the mainstream media, you wouldn't even know the Durham report had been released, really, because it's gotten so little coverage, which is unfortunate. But you're absolutely right, Paul. If you listen to those on the left, they'll tell you there's nothing there, that really the fact that there weren't really any indictments to come out of this, there was one conviction, but nothing more, that, you know, it really shows that nothing bad happened. But if you actually read the report, nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolutely devastating to the credibility of the leadership of the FBI and the Justice Department at the time. It's absolutely devastating to many of the people that we saw in the media at the time who said, like you were saying, that, oh, you know, Donald Trump's colluding with Russia, he's an agent of Russian intelligence and that sort of thing. Well, not only does John Durham say there is no evidence to support that now or at the time, but in fact, many leading the investigation actively suppressed, essentially exonerating evidence that came into their possession. They didn't act on it. They hid it from other intelligence components that should have had it available. And so from top to bottom, Paul, the Durham report is very, very troubling. And I suspect, I hope, it's only the beginning of a conversation about what needs to happen to prevent this type of travesty from happening again in the future.
I mean, the first thing you want to do is get rid of all the people at the top of the FBI and even the Department of Justice that continued when they knew that there was really nothing to it. And in fact, probably knew that Hillary Clinton and the dossier that that they dreamt up was phony. I mean, people were talking about it while the while all of it was going on that it was phony. You would think that the FBI of all organizations should know when something is real or not.
You would certainly think so. You would certainly hope so. And so I think if you look at this report and read it charitably, you know, with regards to what happened, with what the FBI did, it just shows that they were grossly incompetent, essentially committed the equivalent of intelligence malpractice. But if you read it less charitably, and I think you very well could, it looks like there was an active effort to support one political candidate at the expense of another, basically an effort to support Hillary Clinton at the expense of Donald Trump. And that is something that should never happen in our intelligence community or in our law enforcement community or really any organ of our federal government. And the fact that that is even a possibility is something that should disturb all of us as Americans.
You would think. We're talking with Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. And he, along with some of his colleagues, have got an article in the Daily Signal about Durham's report. One of the things in your article, I think, hits on the fact that some of the media are even casting aspersions on John Durham himself. He seems to be a very credible guy, from what I can see.
And yet, credible is understating it. He's been a career Justice Department attorney. He's conducted sensitive investigations for both Democratic and Republican administrations. At the time of his appointment, even many on the left recognized that he was a straight shooter who was going to get to the bottom of this wherever the evidence took him. And so now the effort to cast political aspersions on him, cast him as some type of hyper-partisan, it just doesn't match up with the reality. It doesn't match up with the facts. And it's just an effort, I think, to discredit him because his report is so troubling, so problematic for many in leadership in the FBI and other intelligence agencies.
Yeah. Now, it took a while for the report to come out. And a lot of people said, you know, what's going on? In fact, it seems like a lot of these investigations take a long time. One of the obvious ones we can look at is why is it taking so long to come to any conclusion on the Hunter Biden laptop situation? But he was apparently, John Durham was pretty meticulous, was he not, in this investigation?
He was very meticulous. He reviewed over 6 million pages worth of documents. He distilled all of that information down into about a 306-page report, which was still very dense with information. But that's what you want in these types of politically sensitive investigations. You don't want someone shooting from the hip, like apparently the FBI did with the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. You want someone to look at the evidence, lay out their case plainly and straightforwardly, and lay out the evidence that they have to support it. Now, some of the evidence John Durham gathered in his report is classified. So there were essentially two versions of the report that went out. We have the publicly available report, and then there's also a classified appendix to the report that went to certain government officials, certain members of Congress, where they can actually look under the hood even a little bit more than we are able to do publicly. But I'll tell you quickly, Paul, one of the things that stood out to me in the Durham report was really the double standard that many of the FBI appeared to be applying. Because one of the things John Durham did a very good job at is laying out all of the missteps, all of the shortcuts they took in the Trump investigation, and compared that to how the FBI treated Hillary Clinton and others associated with her and her email investigation, some investigations into the Clinton Foundation, and basically said, look, you had them taking shortcuts in what looked like to be an effort to open an investigation into Donald Trump. Well, when you compare that to with Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, they really treated her and the foundation with kid gloves. We're going the extra mile to be sure they crossed every T, dotted every I, gave her the benefit of the doubt where they could. And so, again, it's that double standard of justice that is very, very troubling, and that I think, frankly, Congress needs to get more answers about how that was allowed to happen.
Yeah, well, it's still going on. It's still going on. I mean, now there's a document that the Republicans in Congress are trying to get that the FBI and the Justice Department refuses to hand over. It's not even a classified document. I don't know. They've got some sort of a weak excuse for not handing it over, but it portends to show that there was a quid pro quo with Joe Biden and money. And at least, you know, get the document over there, allow them to take a look at it and go from there. But it just seems like this whole thing with collusion, there is collusion, but it seems like there's a collusion going on to benefit one side and not the other.
Well, and that's what's wrong with so much of our justice system today, Paul. You know, not only in the context of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax investigation, but just in terms of law enforcement in general, there's a sense that there's a double standard being applied to those on the left and those on the political right. And one of the bedrock principles, I mean, you and I have talked about it before, one of the bedrock principles of our government is that we have equal justice under the law. Regardless of who you are, what your political affiliation is, you're supposed to be treated equally before the eyes of the law, and there's a growing sense that that isn't happening, and that's puts us in a very bad place in the country.
Indeed. You know, there used to be that the FBI was like the hallmark in our country of, every time I thought of the FBI, I saw the American flag flowing. That's what I thought of the FBI. It has taken a hit like I've never seen. And quite frankly, it's a scary situation. It's like it was one of the pinnacles in our government. One of the things we could rely on, you know? One of the things we could rely on as a protectorate. And now, you see what's going on, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, that's right. And I think it's important to understand the shift that's happened in the FBI over the past 20 years or so since 9/11. They've shifted a lot of their focus from being essentially a law enforcement agency to really being more of an intelligence agency today than they have traditionally been. And also, it's important to draw a distinction, I think, between the line agents at the FBI and the political leadership. You know, I was a federal prosecutor for a period of time. I worked with FBI agents, and by and large, the line FBI agents, they're good men and women who want to serve their country, do justice, and really, you know, put bad guys in jail. But unfortunately, it looks like the upper echelon of the FBI, the political leadership, is more interested in politics, political games, than doing the necessary work to keep our country safe. And that's, again, just very, very troubling.
Zach, my colleague Ed Davis, I think, has a question for you.
Zach, I was just wondering, in your opinion, when all the smoke clears and the dust settles or whatever, do you actually see anybody being held accountable? I mean, we've heard, you know, Adam Schiff flat out lied. The last 4 years, the Democrats, we've gone through two impeachments and whatever, and they consider things like hearsay as evidence, where here you actually do have evidence. I mean, is anybody actually going to be held accountable?
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by being held accountable. If anyone's going to be criminally prosecuted, that's a tough sell, I think, frankly. You know, John Durham laid out in his report, you know, a lot of the evidence, where it led, what he found, and he explained in some circumstances why he couldn't move forward with criminal prosecution. You know, maybe the evidence wasn't there. Maybe there were declassification concerns, as are so often the case in these intelligence-type cases. But then don't forget, there's also political accountability. Certainly, you know, if many on the left were seen by a majority of their voters to be undermining, you know, the rule of law or government. They could be held politically accountable. But I do think it's important that anyone who essentially didn't follow proper protocols, didn't do their job as a federal employee, which FBI agents, FBI leadership are in most cases, that they should potentially be debarred from future government service. It should be looked to see if any employment actions can be taken against them. And so, again, I think we're just at the beginning of this conversation, and I'm hopeful that more of these types of issues and ideas will come out when John Durham testifies in front of Congress later this week.
Yeah. You know, we need an independent prosecutor, one that can prosecute that is separate from the Justice Department. When you've got the Justice Department investigating itself, you know what's going to happen. You know, taking a look at the Hunter Biden situation, that's exactly what we have. I think Merrick Garland owes the country an independent prosecutor on that front, by the way. But in the meantime, Zach, thank you so very much for coming on. Always a delight to have you on with your legal background, and I look forward to the next time that we chat.
Excellent. Thanks so much for having me on, Paul. Take care.
Our pleasure. All right. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Let's take our break here. And when we come back, the governor of North Carolina has declared a state of emergency in his attempt to stop a school choice program for his constituents. We're going to take a look.
Stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
And we are back. Freedom Works. And as I say, we're getting excited here. Here's my question. When Ron DeSantis announces that he's running for president, have we ever figured out whether or not he can still stay as governor, Ed?
I believe he can because he passed that bill.
Okay. I think you're probably right. I must have missed it somewhere along the way.
I mean, it's good for us here in Florida because
we get to keep him.
I mean, for honestly, a while. I don't think he's going to get in the White House on the first shot.
Uh-huh.
I really don't.
Yeah. Well, we got somebody that's joining us that has some inside information. He always has inside information. We love the guy. It's Andrew, the master barber. And I think he's got a little some news for us. Let's find out if that is the case. How you doing, Andrew?
Let me turn the volume down on the phone. It's Andrew. Okay, go ahead.
Hold on. I got to take off my earphones, Andrew. No, go ahead.
All right. You know, you got to realize I'm living the dream, guys.
You are indeed, my friend, and you're the dream living.
Hey, you know, I was laughing because everybody's saying how put the travel ban on Florida. They hate the blacks. They hate the gays. Don't go there. You know, everybody's thinking this is bad. I'm thinking it's a pretty good idea. These people are saving all the liberals from coming here.
Hey, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. That's a good thing.
By the way, the guy that runs the NAACP, He lives here near us, here in Florida, for God's sake. What the hell's going on?
Go figure.
He's not too bright. He could have used.
He wants everybody else to stay out, but he's here.
I know, but he could at least use the P.O. box as his address for crying out loud.
And guess where they had their last big meeting? In Orlando.
Unbelievable.
The NAACP. What a hypocritical group that's turned out to be. Oh,
well,
my
Paul,
God. What?
We're gonna see it hit the fan today, I think, huh?
Okay, now, yeah. I got to ask you, because you and I spoke last night. You were good enough to call me, and you were asking me questions, and there was a possibility that some people were going to talk to you based on your connection to the DeSantis family. Am I dropping any, am I saying something I shouldn't about that? Or
No.
Tell us about it.
I got interviewed yesterday at the barbershop, believe it or not. And as a reporter from Reuters.
You're right. And, it's a big new... Go ahead.
Believe it or not, she's a young girl. She's a sweetheart. She was my daughter's clone. I couldn't believe it. My daughter, Alicia, they looked like identical twins.
Wow.
But anyway, she was driving, or happened to be driving around the neighborhood, and she just happened to stop at Ron DeSantis' parents' house when Karen was outside working on the lawn. And she was asked her if she had any idea where the DeSantis, you know, where Ron was raised. And she says, yeah, right here. I'm his mother.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something?
She was driving around the neighborhood to see any signs, Biden, Trump, and she ran into one, and she was talking to him. She says, listen, you need to go talk to Andrew the barber. And I guess he must have been one of my clients or whatever. And here she is. She showed up.
So she wanted to talk to you about the announcement by Ron DeSantis for president?
Yeah, well, she wanted to know about that. She wanted to know his family, where he comes from, you know, what were his ambitions. And I told her, I said, you know, his father was a great father. I mean, they raised two beautiful children, both of them. The daughter passed away, you know, and she was living a great life. And you got Ron, his father was there with the baseball team. He taught him right from wrong, you know. People made me laugh because I was just thinking about this morning. You know, Ron's aunt and uncle, one is a priest and one is a nun.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I said, wouldn't this be great if Ron could get the presidency and Karen's brother could become the Pope? We'd have
there
it from all angles.
I think we'd have it nailed, wouldn't we? So, I mean, you know, we were talking a little earlier, Andrew, on the show, because I talked about the announcement, one of the first things that we talked about this morning. And I said, if you look into Ron's background, as they're going to do, because Ed was mentioning, boy, are they going to, Ed said, you know, I feel sorry for the DeSantis family because now he's really going to be under a microscope. And I said, yeah, but the more they look under the, you know, under the microscope, the better he looks.
You,
I mean, this kid is absolutely, I mean, what are they going to, they're going to have to go back to first grade when he slaps some little girl or something.
I got news for you. His first grade teacher, it goes to all his events, so she'll vouch for the whole situation. Okay? It's amazing. And, you know, I had to laugh the other day because the article that came out on Politico about Casey DeSantis. Is she going to be an asset or a liability
to
Ron?
That's Ron's wife. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And I just sat there and I said, look at how they're attacking a woman who is backing her husband. I said, isn't that amazing? They get the perfect family situation. She's got a beautiful wife. She's intelligent.
Yep.
She's smart. You got three beautiful children.
Right.
Okay? And yet they're attacking them for having a perfect family.
Now, of course.
I mean, what is wrong with a wife standing behind her husband and vice versa? Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
They would attack Jesus if he was running.
Come on, Andrew. You know, listen, mark my word right now. I'm telling you, within a month, this 35-year-old woman is going to show up on CNN. When they were in nursery school, that bully Ron DeSantis slapped me.
That's right.
I'm suing him.
And what kind of president is he going to be if he's slapping a two-year-old?
Listen, I can tell you this.
Another two-year-old.
In fact, the kid is as clean as you're going to find, believe me.
They'll make stuff up, Andrew. Come on.
I mean, I can tell you, I can pull in his classmates. I know all of them. They all come in my barbershop for years. I mean, this kid's dream in life was to be a senator, believe it or not.
So he's always had an ambition to be perhaps... You know, going to politics. I mean, he got a Harvard background, he got a Yale background, he's got a great military background, he has a sports background.
Listen, you know he's got a photographic memory too, don't you?
No, I didn't.
Yes, he does.
Wow.
The kid is brilliant. And I give him all of that. He comes from a great family background. He has a great family himself, but they'll find ways to tear it apart. But you know what? We're just going to have to find ways to fight it, because I can push the truth out there, and I got people to back it up.
So this this discussion with this this Reuters correspondent took place in the barbershop, and did she say that that they're going to be publishing any info?
She said she's going to call me and let me know when they... It was actually a video she did.
Oh.
And they're going to... She's going to let me know when they're going to release the video and have it on.
Oh, great, because we want to publicize it. And there I want to see it, for God's sake.
This is going to get good. I don't know if I'm crazy about Ron getting involved with Elon Musk, to be honest with you.
Well, I was going to ask you.
The real question is... is with Andrew the Master Barber, not Ron DeSantis. The real question is, Andrew the Master Barber's got two girls going to the dance. He's going to have to pick one.
That's right.
You know?
I know.
My father always told me, why make one miserable when you can make them all happy?
Well, that would be good if
you only get one ballot. You only get, unless you're Democrat, you can get a couple of ballots then.
That's right. I'll take care of that.
So, you were just about to say you have reservations about Ron being the president right now, correct?
Well, a little bit. You know, I was a Trump lover right from the beginning.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and I know I love Ron too. I mean, I know the family. I know this kid's potential. I know where he can go. You know, it's a tough decision, but I know what it'll end up being anyway. But you know.
Well,
voting is private.
Here's the thing. You look at the Trump campaign, and they've been going after, let's be honest, they are afraid of Ron. The only one that they've actually been pointing their pitchforks at that's, you know, a possibility of being the Republican nominee. All the others, they're basically ignoring them, but it's Ron they're going after. I'm watching these commercials on television now, and he hadn't even announced yet, and and the Trump campaign is going after him.
You know, what would be a real scenario, and not that it's going to happen, but wouldn't it be something if Ron got on the Twitter tonight and says, listen, I'm not running, and I'm backing Trump.
Oh, that would...
Would that knock the world apart?
With those commercials from the Trump campaign, they would stop immediately.
I saw the one this morning. I thought it was the best one yet. They called him Ron D. Texas or something.
Well, De Sanctimonious is another one.
Yeah, that one. But this is a new one that came out this morning.
It's Ron D. Texas.
Ron D. Texas. Yeah. And they got him with raising all these taxes.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of making things up. They're making things up about him that are not true.
Yeah.
If you know,
you know what they said? Is they said was he wanted to. Now, if he becomes president, he would like to have just a 23% flat tax across sales tax across the board and get away with the federal income tax.
You know what? But it has merit. If you give somebody an opportunity to talk about different ways, I personally like the flat tax. That's another one. But they'll go after. I want to get back to this NAACP thing. It came out on the eve of DeSantis announcing his candidacy. Do you think that was a coincidence?
It was planned. It was designed. How's that?
That's exactly what everybody else thinks, too. They decided to bring that out. They decide to bring that out right before. It's almost like, I don't know, maybe it's almost like something that the Trump campaign would be joyful about. I don't think Trump has anything to do with it. But you know,
look at what Target brought out the day before his campaign announcement yesterday, that they were running a whole line of transgendered women's bathing suits with a sack in them.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of that one?
Oh, my goodness. I can make a joke, and I'm not going to about that one. But, yeah. What is Target? Don't they have enough trouble keeping people from stealing stuff off their shelves?
Did we get to Target?
We're talking about the Target. Yeah, we talked about this earlier, Ed. Go ahead. By the way, Ed's ordered one of those bathing suits.
The extra small, by the way. I need a place for my wallet. Hey, now, I saw somebody take a video because I didn't believe it and put it on YouTube, of course, where everything is. That they walked into Target, and as soon as you walk into Target, all the transgender and LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ stuff is right there for you to trip over when you walk in the door. So I was going to go, honestly, today I was going to go.
To see it?
To see it. And overnight, Target moved all of that stuff to the back of the store. So, obviously, whoever did the Bud Light commercials is moonlighting at Target. So, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
And I will pay you $200 to walk into Target and go to the transgender thing and start holding up those bathing suits like you're just going to buy one. Hey, let me video.
Let me tell you right now, for $200, I'll try something
on. Yeah, why not?
Hey, I'll start sewing a couple of these things together.
Oh, God. You think about all of that nonsense, and you think, you know, the people that really come up with this, they must really hate transgenders and hate all of these people, because why are they even bringing it up? I mean, if you think about it's almost Machiavellian.
What you got to think is, whoever's in charge of it, does this idiot think nobody's going to notice?
Yeah.
Put all the stuff up front. Nobody's going to notice.
I don't understand it. Well, but, basically, I did the same thing with my business, in 2015. I put all the Trump stuff out, and I lost half of my business.
Oh, goodness.
I remember that spat. That little quarrel or little indifference there, and Trump got shoved off.
Well, your business is doing great because you have a great place, and you have great people doing great haircuts. So the announcement comes tonight. Everybody's going to be watching it. And I guess he can still continue on as the governor. So that's good news.
He had that law. Listen. Think about how good that move was. You can still keep your job and lose the other one.
But is that fair?
No, I don't think it's fair.
Let me put it in. If Charlie Crist were governor and he did, I would say that's not fair and it's not right.
That's right.
Of course.
But because it's Ron, it's okay.
Win or go home, Charlie.
There you go. All right. Well, Andrew, you keep us posted, and we want to know when that possible video from Reuters with you being interviewed, because that'll be a keepsake.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
You guys have a good day.
Yeah, keep calling in when you can.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks.
Yeah, we could play the audio from it when it comes out.
We play the audio for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's take our final break. And among other things, we didn't get around to that North Carolina governor, but that's okay. We are going to talk about the North Carolina governor declaring a state of emergency because they're going to, apparently, they passed legislation to allow school choice in that great state.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, You new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment. My goodness, the day goes fast. Our show goes fast. We do it, by the way, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Always glad you're listening, but if you can't listen live, thanks to Ed, all of our shows are on podcast. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. You'll see the podcast button there at the top. When you click on it, Ed's got all our shows. You'll see the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. You'll see the top 10. Ourfreedomworks.com. There you go. All right. So, Democratic North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has declared a state of emergency in an attempt to stop a school choice bill from passing in the state legislature. He released a video announcement where he argued that the state of public education is no less important than other emergencies. Somehow, if you're allowing parents the opportunity to take your children to the school of their choice, we got to call out the troops? A state of emergency. And make sure, like a tornado coming?
I was going to say, and make sure you stock up on batteries and water.
Yeah. I mean, is that what we're talking about? What is wrong with this guy? Here's what he says. It is time to declare a state of emergency for public education in North Carolina. There's no executive order like with a hurricane or the pandemic, but it's no less important. It's clear that the Republican legislature is aiming to choke the life out of public education. I'm declaring this state of emergency because you need to know what's happening. If you care about public schools in North Carolina, it's time to take immediate action and tell them to stop the damage that will set back our schools for a generation.
Well, I just changed my mind. I don't want to live in North Carolina.
By the way, do you know where the governor's daughter goes?
Private school.
A private school. A private school. Okay? In April, Republican lawmakers in the North Carolina legislature announced efforts to move forward with an education reform bill that promoted school choice. One measure includes a bill that would provide equal funding to charter school students along with those who attend public school. It's not like public school isn't getting the money. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're being... In fact, charter schools are technically involved in public schooling. But according to the governor, he says, put together these ideas spell disaster that requires emergency action. The North Carolina I know is built on support for public schools, and we can't let the legislature tear them down. They're not tearing them down. They're just giving parents a choice. They're giving them a choice. They're giving them an opportunity, if they don't want their child to go to the local public school, to go somewhere else. Next, they can still take them to the public school. You're not forcing them out of the public schools.
Next time that governor goes out to dinner with his wife and he sits down and he grabs a menu, I'm going to yank the menu out of his hands and tell him, no, you're going to get what we give you.
There you go. Indeed. All right, Ed. Yep. Before we get to our top 10, is there anything going on? How's our baseball team?
The first game against the Blue Jays, the Rays won. And last night, they just barely lost last night, 20-1.
Oh, 20-1?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Sounds like a basketball game.
It was a football game.
Or a football game.
They missed the extra point.
They missed the extra point. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But they're still top team in the Major League, right?
Yeah, but you see, Bally Sports, who airs the games, likes to run the scroll on the bottom of all the things the Rays are leading the league in. And they're starting to diminish.
Wow.
You know, it was the first. They were first in the league. Now they're third. You know, take that stuff off there, would you? I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
If I had my choice.
Get tired of reading it.
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
I think it's a jinx, too.
So you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. And we still got hockey going on, and I think we still got basketball going on. The playoffs are going on, and we got Miami and the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. Those people are busy watching basketball and hockey because their teams are in the semifinals. So we got to.
And they probably won't win either one of them. So
maybe not. All right, time for our top 10. We gave you the top 10 best places to live in the U.S. on our last show. Well, it's a U.S. News and World Report report. And they also came up with the worst places to live. So, of course, we're going to give you those. All right, so here we go. Number 10, worst place to live. Dayton, Ohio. Now, they got a lot of, if I remember it right, ketchup and rubber tires in Dayton, Ohio. You know, Akron and Dayton, a lot of, that's headquarters for a lot of tire companies. All right, number 9. Vallejo Dash Fairfield, California. I don't even know where it
well,
is.
Well, even the name stinks.
Yeah, it does. Vallejo, Fairfield, California. All right. Number 8. By the way, there's a lot of, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Californians on this one. Okay? A lot of them. Number 8 is Salinas, California. It's another bad place to live, apparently. Number 7. And this used to be a place I lived. So I'm kind of sad to see it, but Memphis, Tennessee is a tough place to live these days. Got a lot of trouble going on in
Memphis. I always thought Tennessee was a nice place.
It is. It's right on the Mississippi River. Of course, I remember it from years ago. But
Everybody knows Nashville and Gatlinburg.
Yeah, Chattanooga, right? You got, what's that town, Knoxville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 6. Back to California, Modesto. I think that's near San Francisco, but I'm not positive.
Their governor must be proud.
Yeah, really. Number 5, Fresno, California. Now, just 30 miles from Visalia, Fresno struggles with air quality, and the violent crime rate is also much higher than the national average. All right, number 4. And just get ready, Ed. It's lots of California. Visalia, California. Visalia in California's Central Valley gets very low marks for air quality. Housing prices have skyrocketed there also in recent years. Number 3, Stockton, California. Home prices reasonable compared to nearby San Francisco, but the cost of groceries, utilities, and transportation decrease the value and affordability scores. Number 2, Bakersfield, California. It's known for agriculture and oil. While housing is very affordable compared to the rest of the state, the cost of living is pricey due to gas and utility.
Does California
prices.
Still got that smog thing going on from
the
80s?
I always wondered about it. I think they supposedly cleared some of that up.
Yeah.
Used to be in the LA Valley basin. I'm not sure. All right, Ed. This, it's not California, in fact.
Wow.
It's not even technically, believe it or not,
California wins on points, anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Really? Right.
You won't get it.
Right.
But they named it San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
San Juan ranked very low in value due to the high cost of living.
Yeah.
High unemployment and low wages make it an expensive city. Inland rental prices are low, but energy prices are higher than on the U.S. mainland.
You know what's probably the problem with Puerto Rico is government corruption
of
down
course.
There. Really, really
it's
bad.
Horrible. Absolutely.
Really bad down there.
It is. Used to be a nice island, but not a place to go to these days.
Nope.
All right. Thank you so very much for listening to us. Be careful out there. The Ron Santis presidential notice comes this evening. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
And a happy Wednesday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Well, today might be the day that we catch up on some much-needed rain. High only today of only 82 degrees. Should be showers throughout the day, off and on, in through the evening. An overnight low tonight of 69. And tomorrow's high also at 82 degrees. Sunset this evening is at 8:19 p.m. Now here's the latest of CBS News.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kaifet. Florida's Republican governor has been touting his record in public opinion.